All right, so I'll go ahead and start recording now. But so today, as we go into chapter 18, and so this is we can say with some level of certainty that, you know, the Roman Catholicism is the mystery religion, and it's bringing together some ecumenical movements. And as far as the commercial part, I mean, there's quite a range of guesses, because it does seem to be that it is a city, and so we don't know if it's. It seemed like a lot of pretty popular pastors think that the old city of Babylon will actually be rebuilt. And it's kind of funny, some of you know Pastor Alan Shelby, and he was in a debate. Those used to be more popular than they are now, it seemed like, but he was in a controlled environment debate, and this person told him, you know, the Bible says that Babylon's going to be destroyed, and it didn't happen. You know, the Bible's not true, right? And so Alan has this famous statement. It's just, he's like, and I think it was like in 2006, he says, well, God doesn't settle all his accounts by the year 2006. So it seemed like he was indicating that it's yet to come, that Babylon will be made desolate. And that is what the Bible says. And but yeah, like J. Vernon McGee, he thinks Babylon will be rebuilt. This is a little slide that I got from Chuck Missler, kind of a famous prophecy guy. And so this is a satellite image of the old city of Babylon. And it says, I don't know if you can read it, I apologize if you can't from the back, but it says that Babylon's 55 miles south of modern-day Baghdad. And it's got, this is a satellite image of like Saddam Hussein's palace and the ruins of the Tower of Babel. That would be interesting to go see, wouldn't it? And then this, I'll give you a couple other slides. This looks like the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. It's right there on those same grounds, and there's a museum there, so that would all be fascinating to see. And then, let's see. These are pictures of Saddam Hussein's palace. So he was getting ready to, he was starting to rebuild the old city of Babylon. I think that's the Euphrates River right there. So that's pretty wild. And you can see little cars and trucks going around his palace there. And he had several, so this is just another shot of the other side of that same palace. But you can see all around there is just desolate, you know, ruins or desert, or it's not a city to this day. So anyway, I personally don't see, you know, if we think the Lord's return is near, and we do, and if Babylon's going to be destroyed and fall, you know, it has to be rebuilt before it can fall. So it doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon, in my opinion. So what are you thinking, Pat?
Well, I was just going to say, my, I guess, nephew-in-law, my niece's husband at the time, he was in a
bottle of water underneath the table.
He went through Baghdad, Babylon, and he saw, you know, when they captured Saddam and everything, and he toured the city and everything, and he said that Saddam had been overlaying all the buildings in gold for a long time.
Wow.
He had done a lot of the city.
Okay. So maybe it's much more rebuilt than what this looks like.
Yeah. Or at least, I mean, I don't know how far.
And this is a relative of yours that was in the service?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was in Desert Storm and
wow.
Through there. And, yeah, it was pretty amazing to hear that.
That is.
And, you know, Saddam claims to be, you know, the great, 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 great grandson of Nebuchadnezzar.
He believes he's actually actually related to him.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I don't think I knew that either. I think he even had some coins made with him and Nebuchadnezzar on the coins. And so, anyway, so Brother TJ is going to hand out our handouts today. But everybody, let's be turning our Bibles to Revelation 18. And so we're going to try to study these first. We'll just see how far we get. I do appreciate the Jim sharing. I mean, this is an ABF class. It's an adult Bible fellowship. You can kind of see our logos there on the wall. I don't know if anybody's really looked at it, but we believe Jesus Christ is the foundation, and it's got all the books of the Bible in our logo there. But ABF stands for Adult Bible Fellowship, and so we want to incorporate fellowship. That's why partly I want Jim to share some of what he's doing in ministry, and we've looked at other topics of that are relevant. And then, we're going to go out to eat with Pam in a couple weeks. I don't know if everybody heard that, but we're going to try to go to the Sapp Brothers Apple Barrel restaurant on the 24th after service. So let's all try to go there and fellowship with each other and with her that day. So anyway, we're trying to incorporate fellowship in addition to Bible teaching and... And so here, as far as the introduction to this chapter of Revelation 18, I heard this week, and so I wrote them down, these five observations that led to the downfall of the Roman Empire. This guy, Edward Gibbon, in the 1780s, he looked at five things here, and one was the undermining... of the dignity and sanctity of the home. And so I think all of these will resonate a little bit with us. But in the Roman society, there was, the home should be the kind of the center of society, or the, we would not have a good church if we didn't have good families, would we? And so it's at the core of our church. It's at the core of society is, the man and the wife and the children that makes up a family. And he also noted that they begin to have higher and higher taxes in Rome. I hadn't heard that before, but they begin spending a lot of public money for welfare and what they called the circus. I don't know exactly what all that entails, but kind of the arts, I guess, and they were spending public money, and they were taxing the people. And then there was just a mad craze for pleasure and the decline of morality. And this person noted via sports and entertainment, so that was interesting. We know a lot of Roman Greco wrestling and not just the Colosseum, but there. And then the fourth was just the building of great firmaments and structures. So they evidently, Rome, we know even today you can travel there as we did last month and saw some of those. And then the fifth one was just the decay of religion. And so he noted that faith, your second blank was just the word faith. It really began to fade, and it became more of a ritual, liturgical, and so these things all led to the decline of Rome. And can we not see pretty much those exact same things today, right, in our society? And so Rome did not get captured by another country. They just kind of dissolved from within. And so this other guy, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, said, "History teaches us that man learns nothing from history." So that's a pretty profound thing to say, isn't it? All right, so chapter 18, is about the destruction of economic Babylon. So I had to put economic. And some people say commercial. It's kind of tied with political as well. So kind of. And Jim, this is what I was going to have you look up maybe for next week if you can. Just some statistics about commercialization. Because I was listening to something and it said like per capita, you know, our credit card balances are so much. And most homes with a 2 or 3 car garage don't have room to put the car in the garage. And most people have, you know, off-site storage, and just how economically, how commercialized our country is. And so I don't know if you could come up with any stats about things like that, but I think it would shame us even worse than having a book overdue. So anyway, maybe think about that for next week. So this, I gave you just a little chart, and we talked last week. There's really like 8 chapters in the Bible. So some people have said you could almost subtitle the Bible A Tale of Two Cities, you know, Babylon and Jerusalem, because Babylon, the name Babylon is in the Bible over 300 times, and it's second only to Jerusalem as being, and both of these are called great cities. But there's 8 chapters that are pretty prominent, and they're all kind of together. I mean, it's like Genesis 10 and 11. That's where Babylon was founded under Nimrod. And Isaiah 13 and 14 prophesy the downfall of Babylon, especially the religious downfall. And that's where Lucifer is mentioned in Isaiah 13. And then Jeremiah 50 and 51 prophesies about the downfall of Babylon. And then Revelation 17 and 18, which we're studying, is kind of the fulfillment of that. So below is just kind of a little bit of an overview that I thought I would just read this bottom section of your handout, and I'll go ahead and give you this blank is just the word oppressor. I don't know if I spelled that right, but that's where the king of Babylon is called the oppressor. So let me just read down through this for a little bit, and I might comment as we go down. But my teaching point there is just to notice the similarities between the Old Testament and New Testament references of Babylon. So in Genesis 10, Nimrod is the 13th generation from Adam, and his name actually means son of rebellion. And so he is the founder of Babylon. This was the first Gentile kingdom, and it's often represent or associated with the devil or false religion and the enemies of God. And in Genesis 10:9, Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord, which kind of means he's against the Lord. You know, you and I might say he was in the face of God, right? He was, but by saying he was a mighty hunter, I cross-referenced, at least to me, it's connected with this Proverbs 6:26 verse, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." And so, whether it be a false religion, this Babylonian religion, it kind of hunts for the precious life, and all life is precious. So that was interesting to me. I forget who it was that was said that it seemed like it was a Russian, maybe it was like Karl Marx, is like religion is the opioid of the people, something like that. But in a way, so we all need that spiritual fix. I don't think that's necessarily a terrible thing to say. Because in a way it's true that we all need the Lord, and hopefully, you know, that's the only time addicted is mentioned in the Bible, that the household of Stephanas at Corinth was addicted to the ministry. And so it is addictive, and we do need that fix from the Lord. We do need our soul to be satisfied and refreshed in Him. And so I don't
like the Most High.
There's no high like the Most High, and that's not wrong either. So in Genesis 11, Nimrod was world leader. He gathered the people together for one language and one religion to build a tower that reached to heaven. And kind of remember that little phrase, reach to heaven, because that actually shows up in Revelation 18, as we're going to read here in a few minutes. And then the Isaiah 13:1, it talks about the burden of Babylon. It talks about the day of the Lord. Earth shall be removed out of her place, and the Medes were stirred up to conquer Babylon. In Isaiah 14, the king of Babylon was called oppressor. Babylon was called the golden city, and Lucifer's fate was sealed after he attempted to ascend into heaven. I think I said it was Isaiah 13, but it was Isaiah 14. So just like in Genesis 11:4, with attempt to reach into heaven, Lucifer wanted to ascend into heaven. And so God will break the Assyrian in my land. And so sometimes the Antichrist is referred to as an Assyrian. So that's interesting. Jeremiah 50, the word of the Lord against Babylon by Jeremiah. Idols are confounded and images are broken. Israel is told to remove out of Babylon, and that's found here in Revelation 18. And it's called those days. We know those days are connected with the tribulation period. And it says Babylon was made desolate. And then at the bottom of your page, Jeremiah 51, the Jews are told to flee out of the midst of Babylon. And a golden cup is mentioned, and also nations of the earth have drunken of her wine, just like here in Revelation 17 we've studied. And the Lord raised up the spirits of the Medes to destroy Babylon. And Babylon dwells among many waters, and that showed up in Revelation 17. And Jeremiah was told to bind a stone to the book after he read it and cast it into the Euphrates River. And then it says that Babylon will be desolate forever. So those were all prophecies and things about, but all those are kind of familiar terms, aren't they, as we've studied Revelation 17 and 18. So if you didn't get it, there's probably more that I missed, but I read those chapters nearly 2 weeks ago and started writing some of it down. All right, so we're here in chapter 18. So let's read these first three verses. Can somebody read Revelation 18, verses 1, 2, and 3? Pam Anderson.
And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the home of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants and the earth of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
Yeah, that's the only time in the Bible where delicacies is mentioned. That's, you know, we have delis right now, you know, places you get food, they're called a deli.
What is this bird? Is that like a demon?
Yeah, that is what we're going to see here. But in verse 1 that Pam read, he saw this other angel. You know, sometimes Revelation's talking about the seven angel, but that's what it seems like, is that this is talking about an angel other than the seven that are, you know, blew the trumpets and different things. And notice at the end of verse 1, it talks about his glory. And so what I wanted to highlight, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but angels in the Bible are always males. And so that's one of the things that is different than you hear as you read books. But in the Bible, angels are always, and they appear as men, and they never have wings. Like, I mean, some of the seraphim have wings and cherubs, but these angels do not. So this is interesting. And so this is what he's crying here. He's crying that Babylon the Great is fallen. And so he says it twice, kind of for emphasis. This is a big deal, because as we go through here, we're going to see, you know, that the whole world is counting on the merchandise of this. And for it to fall, I think it even says alas or something in one of these. So it's like, you know, a terrifying. It's fallen. This, you know, everybody can see it. This is a horrible thing, or it's a big deal anyway. And I gave you a verse there from Isaiah 21. It says almost the exact same thing on your handout. There's Isaiah 21:9 says, "And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground." So in Isaiah, it says the same phrase, is fallen. And so I don't probably know all that that means, but it's for emphasis. Maybe it represents that, you know, the religious side is fallen and now the city's fallen. It's both. I don't know if you ever thought of this. You know, when Christ was on the cross, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He says it twice, and most people say it was for emphasis, but do you know Jesus is part of the Trinity? So it's almost like God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son is, you know, "You've forsaken me, God the Son." So I think sometimes it's for mentioned twice like that for other reasons than just for emphasis. So, but like Kevin says here in verse 2 that Pam read, the Babylon has become this habitation of devils, and it's typified by these unclean birds. And I was going to have us turn there. I probably won't now, but in Matthew 13, and I'll give you kind of an application. You remember that the sower went by the wayside, and or some of the seed was fallen by the wayside, and it says the birds of the air plucked them up. Yes, and a few verses later, it says that the wicked one, the devil, is the one that plucked out that seed, lest those at the wayside would receive the word. And I know in some of our pastors' meeting, Pastor Brian we meet every Sunday night. We're not going to meet tonight because it's Mother's Day, but sometimes he'll pray, you know, "God, as the seed went forth this morning, I pray the wicked one don't pluck up any of the seed, that people at the church need to hear the word," right? We come and people need the Lord, and so we put out the word, and we don't want the devil to come and pluck them out so that they don't believe, you know. So that anyway, at least a couple places in the Bible, birds, especially unclean birds, and Leviticus chapter 11 names a lot of those unclean birds, and it mentions kind of some categories here, even habitations of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So even here it likens them to devils.
the eagles and unclean birds.
Even the eagles.
So if they didn't have wings, why are they likening them to birds?
Well, these are the demons. So maybe the demonic angels do, but God's angels don't. Maybe that's the distinction. So that's, yeah.
I'll say even like movies and stuff, like the devil has the wings and you don't see.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
I was thinking that it's weird that in Revelation it says that God on his throne is surrounded by fire, but they always picture Satan as in the middle of hell burning.
Yeah, those seven spirits of fire around the throne.
I guess it's just different, maybe.
No, it's good to think about how practically some of this is, and I know Pastor Jeff Trude. He's done a whole series on angels, and I missed it, so I'm sure it's online or we could find it. And I know just. I think when I was going through our shepherd school, there's like seven categories of God's angels. I mean, Michael the archangel, and there could be more than one archangel maybe. But there's mighty angels, there's God's elect angels. And so there's like seven layers of God's angels and like five layers of the devil's angels. Like... I'm trying to think, you know, the principalities and powers of the air and those type of things that Ephesians talks about. So anyway, that is a whole study, and it's, you know, if we could pull back the veil and see more than the third, or we could go into the fourth dimension, if we could see the spiritual, you know, they're real. And I think the kind of the... It's in Matthew 10, kind of the principle of having a guardian angel, I think is biblical. And if you guys know this, and this I can say with certainty, is, you know, the devil took a third of the angels when he fell, right? So that means there's two-thirds of God's angels and a third of the angels are demonic, or unclean. And but in Matthew 10, it talks about God's little ones. Jesus said, you know, it's better for you to have a millstone put around your neck and thrown into the sea than to offend one of his little ones. And then it says, for their angels testify to the Father of me, or something. It says, it uses the word plural, like his little ones, angels, plural. So I think that every Christian probably has at least two angels, because they're wanting to replace that third that fell. So anyway, that's kind of my take on that, since we're talking about angels. So I think we'll just get to, I'll probably hit this next session, but let's talk about verse 3 just quickly here. All nations have drunk of her wine, committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have waxed rich through her delicacies. I put the verse there from Timothy, that for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so that's something we all need to war against, is having a love for money. And so these merchants have waxed rich. They've gotten richer and richer. And some of the preachers I listened to said, think of the word luxury instead of delicacy, maybe. But delicacies, this is the only time in the Bible. And then I put this teaching point, I think this was from Brian. The prophecy of Revelation 18 is distinctly different from Revelation 17. Revelation 17 clearly speaks of the destruction of the wicked Babylon harlot religious system, while Revelation 18 speaks of the destruction of the wicked Babylon city, playing host to the demonic forces of the heavens. And so there's much debate on the location of Babylon. Is it Rome, which it could be, or is it the city of Babylon in Iraq near Baghdad? So that's kind of how we started, and that's how we'll finish. And if you can stay around and chat a little, let's let out a little early. But thank you all, mothers. I'll do that next, the Roman numeral 3 next week. I'll just copy that. We don't need to rush it. You have a question, Belinda? Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for being online. If you're online, and let's close in prayer. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this class. Thank you for each soul present. Pray your good hand be with on each of us, Lord, as we go about our day. We do thank you for this concept of mothers that you created, and dismiss us now with your blessing, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let me read something to you real quick. You'll like this. Some of you guys know Pastor Mike Van Horn. He sent me this text this morning. This is about mothers. He gives this verse from Matthew. Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And so Mike says, the tenderness and compassion of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ allowed the colt to have his mother alongside him in the journey to Jesus. So anyway, I thought he's talking about this colt with his mom going to Jesus. Anyway, I wanted to share that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. What's interesting there is...